Ngā mihi nui e te whānau. A reading from Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning at verse 11, and that goes to 16, and then we'll go from 20 to 24. So Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 11. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says: I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of dark and clouds. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I would tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them: See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will place over them one servant, one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Whakaronga ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Te ronga pai tapu ki te ritinga a Matthew, te rua te kau mā rima upoko, ka timata toru te kau matahi. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at the 31st verse. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be separated from him, will be gathered before him, rather, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Te rongapai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ.
Turn the microphone on. We're all good. Wired for sound. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. Since I was here last time, of course, we've lost the Rugby World Cup. We lost the semi-final in the cricket.
Yeah.
And there's a new government.
Yeah.
So depending how you feel, it could be one out of three ain't bad, or two out of three ain't bad, or all three are bad. I'll leave you to determine your own kind of things on that. But, you know, the old saying, the only constant is change, is very true. And I think with the new government coming in, whatever your particular views, the Bible commands us to pray for them. And I think that's important. And it's really important, you know, when the Bible says pray for the government, doesn't mean depending how you feel, or they're the right ones, Lord, may they do everything I want them to do. That's not the prayer. The prayer is, Lord, give them wisdom, give them courage. We pray blessings on them. And see what happens. I'm also wearing, no us and them, the Wellington City Mission motto. I was chair of the Wellington City Mission till May when my term ended, so I'm off the board now, and this was their farewell present for me, which is very good. And the mission has as their motto, no us and them. I don't know if you're following what they're doing. They've currently got a key fundraiser. Have any of you seen that online? It's a fantastic thing. You know, give a small donation, they send you a key, and the key is to help open Whakamaru, which is a new building going on there. But the reason I wore it is, one, I needed to wear something, and this was clean. And secondly, the motto on it, no us and them, is what Murray Edridge, the city commissioner, has kind of brought in as their motto. That it's not like the mission is working with them. There is no us and them. We're all in it together, which is really good. Last Sunday, I was in the cathedral, just as a point of interest, presenting Murray because he was ordained a priest, which is great. Good news. Good news for Murray. Good news for him. And bad news for the Baptists, which is where he was raised. So all my Baptist friends, I've been telling them all, it happens to us all one day. Given early makes life easier. Okay, so this morning, and the whole thing of the sheep and the goats is a very interesting story for this Matthew 25. And one of the big, some of you may know about this, but one of the big kind of theological debates is this a parable, just a story, or is it a literal kind of illustration, right? And if it's an illustration, it kind of breaks down into two areas, because then if it's a literal illustration, is it the final judgment at the end of time that the Bible talks about, or is it a judgment for those who are into the millennial stuff at the beginning of the millennial period? And there's lots of people write lots of books on that stuff. I recommend you don't really read them. There are more interesting books to read. Because the more fundamental question is not so much whether it's the pre-millennial or the post-millennial or a parable. The question is, what's the key message in this from Jesus for us? That's really the key question, I think. And whatever you believe about that, the questions remain the same. Parable, premillennial, postmillennial, it's the same. And let's get a bit of a context of this picture, whichever way it is, of those three, is it's talking about Jesus returning as the king. Now, of course, in the times of Jesus, when they were talking like that, it was kind of like the emperors and King Herod, and there was pomp and ceremony. And, of course, Jesus told the story as a non-looking king, all right? Remember, just before this, foxes have holes, birds have nests, I have nowhere to lay my head. Shortly after this, he was taken away and crucified. So it's kind of, he's telling it from the opposite end of the continuum that they imagine for a king. And he's kind of saying, one day, which they all wanted, the powerful king is going to come back. Because that's what the Jews wanted. Like, someone to come up and bash up all the Romans and put them in charge again and make the world a wonderful place for all the Jewish people. And he's saying, one day, the story is, if I return as a king, it's still going to be completely different. Because when a normal King Herod or emperor or any of their kind of offsiders would return, the immediate ones who would stand in front of them were all the powerful people, because that's what it pictures. The first picture of returning as a king is one of power. And all the generals and all the armies would come forward and say, look, all the wonderful things we've defeated in your name, all the, you know, lands we've taken, all the conquests we've done in your name, all the rebellions we've quelled. Look at the powerful things we've done for you. And then others would come and say, look at the statues we've raised in your name. Look at the taxes we've collected in your name. You're such a wonderful king, and here's all the powerful things to prove that we're your loyal citizens and we're the ones you should be looking after. And everyone else, all the riffraff, which is most of us in this room, would be all in the background cheering on, wondering what's going to happen, and usually the ones who had to pay the extra taxes, go and fight the battles and everything else. And Jesus says, when I come back as a king, it's going to be very different. Because the first thing he does is he talks to the normal people. It's not to the generals and the powerful and the ones who have made statues to him. And they're surprised. This is the whole thing. They're both sides, the sheep and the goats. And of course, one thing to remember, sheep and goats in Jesus' time, the sheep didn't look like New Zealand sheep. Big, fat, woolly things. The sheep and the goats, as in many parts of the world you've probably seen today, kind of look exactly the same. You know, they're kind of, by our standards, scrawny and white, and it was a bit hard to tell at a distance, and often they'd be in the same kind of flocks together with the farmers, so they're all mixed up together. These days when we say sheep and goats, it's obvious, well, you're a goat, there's nothing to determine. But here where they look the same, Jesus is saying, so number one, I'm the king, all the generals, all the powerful people, I don't want to know about them. All the normal people look the same, and he asks them the same question. Because his kingdom is a kingdom of service, not of power. And he basically asks them, and it's fascinating when you look at this as was read out. The king will say to them, so they separate the sheep and goats and work it out, put the sheep over there, the goats over there. And then he says, come, you're blessed. Because I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, you visited me. And then the righteous will say to the Lord, when did we do that? And that's what they're basically saying. We don't, when? Because everyone would do anything for the king. Does that make sense? If he came as the king, the king works. King Charles comes over here, pretty much everyone will do everything for King Charles, right? But he's saying, when I was hungry, when every time you saw a hungry person, every time you saw a naked person, every time you saw a thirsty person, every time there was a prisoner, every time there was someone lonely, in other words, all the people that are almost diametrically opposite to the king is where I was. And you did that for me. And they're amazed. Hold on. They didn't get it. Do you see that? It's really important. And then he says to the goats exactly the same question. And he says, you didn't feed me, you didn't clothe me, you didn't give me something to eat, you didn't visit me. And they say, hold on, we never once saw the king needing all these things. And if we had, we would have done it. Jesus says, no, you missed the point. Whenever you did or did not do it for the least of these, that is the people who are opposite the king in every way, that's when you did or did not do it for me. Now, it's pretty obvious, really, when we read it now, isn't it? But we've got to get the context, because this is the king saying, forget doing stuff for the king. Forget the powerful. Forget the stories of conquests. Forget the stories of statues. Forget the stories of taxes and wealth. And remember the normal things you did as my servants, because when you do them as my servants, to these people, you do them for me. It's interesting also that the term least here, Matthew uses, the same one that Matthew uses in chapter 2, verse 6 here, where he talks about Bethlehem, where Jesus is from. So this is the king's beginning. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, and out of you will become a ruler. In other words, Bethlehem was the least part, but out of there was coming a ruler, but not the ruler they expected. Because what did Jesus say? The Son of Man has come to be a king and be served? No. Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I think we all kind of know this. The other amazing thing I think that's important when we talk about the king here in the context is in John 1:46, one of my favourite passages, where I think it's Nathanael or Philip, I can't remember which way around it goes to the other one and says, you should come and see Jesus of Nazareth, the promised Messiah. And the response is, Nazareth? what good thing could come out of Nazareth? You know, we're looking for a king, not for somebody that no one knows about. This is the context Jesus is talking about. So really, it's a very simple passage in many ways if we forget all that nonsense about post-millennial, pre-millennial and all that stuff. The question God's already given us, in many ways, the questions he's going to ask of us. He's given us the questions we ask all the time. One of the things people say all the time, what is God wanting me to do? You know, what's God's will for my life? You know, good questions. Well, we know. It's here. There may be other things, but this is stage one, you know. Stage one is every day of our lives, every opportunity we get, we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we give drink to the thirsty, we visit the lonely, we visit the prisoners. And they represent all those people who are nowhere in sight when the king is on his throne in a normal circumstance. That's what it is to be God. If you say you love God, guess what? Don't tell me this, but the question is, okay, when did you last clothe somebody? When did you last feed somebody? When did you last visit somebody? Because if you didn't do that, your words are meaningless. So it's pretty powerful. But it's also, in many ways, pretty easy. So really, the message, and I think the message for all of us, and this is partly why I wore the hoodie this morning, is the mission is, there are many examples, but this is Anglican, so it's obviously one of the best. Also, I was chair of the board, so, you know, they've now got a chair who knows what he's doing. But, you know, it's a good mission, and it's out there, and it is working with some of the most disadvantaged people in Wellington. And every time we support something like the mission, and there are many groups, obviously, we are fulfilling the passage of Matthew 25. And when Jesus says, you know, Daryl, you fed me, and I say, when did I feed you? He said, when you supported the mission. Or you supported this thing. Because for many of us in our society, the best way to fulfill this is to support those others who are doing it. Because we can't all go out and feed the hungry and clothe the naked. But we can all support those who are. And then we will hear the words of Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Nō reira, ko mō tēnei kōrere kia koutou. That's all I have to say to you all this morning. I pray God will bless you all and that all of us will continue to be more like sheep, and less worrying about the generals, the statues, the praise, and the glory of others, so we will fulfill the mission of God. Amen.